on this episode, we talk about the fourth installment in the Fast saga, Fast and Furious, and it happens right now.
The Everett Lee Show Podcast, a shot of entertainment.
Fast and Furious. No, the and in between this one. Fast and Furious is a 2009 action film directed by Justin Lin and written by Chris Morgan. It serves as a direct sequel to The Fast and Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious, and it is the fourth installment in the Fast and Furious franchise. It stars Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Michelle Rodriguez, Jordana Brewster, John Ortiz, and Laz Onso. In the film, Dominic Toretto and Brian O'Connor must team up to apprehend drug lord Arturo Braga. Fourth film was announced in July 2007 with the return of the original cast from the first film, Diesel, Walker, Rodriguez, and Brewster. The account of the original casting scene absent from either the previous two installments. The film was developed to retcon Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift from 2006, a third film in the franchise, as occurring beyond the events of Fast and Furious. While the short film Los Banderos was produced and released, principles of photography, began in February of 2008 and concluded that July, with filming locations including Los Angeles, the Dominican Republic. Lynn Morgan and composer Brian Tyler, return in the roles from Tokyo Drift. Fast and Furious is the first film to feature D-Box motion. And if you're not familiar with D-Box motion, it's technology. It is a publicly traded haptic motion technology company based out of Quebec. The company design and manufacture motions and haptic systems for entertainment, stimulation, and training industries. So that's what they used for this fourth film here. Fast and Furious was scheduled to be released on June 2009, but premiered at Gibson's Amphitheater in Los Angeles on March 12, 2009, and was theatrically released worldwide on April 3rd by Universal Pictures. The film received mixed reviews from critics, fans, with praises of reuniting the original cast and action sequences, but criticized for its screenplay. Fast and Furious grossed over $360 million worldwide, exceeding expectations to become the then highest grossing film of the franchise. It also grossed about $72.5 million worldwide during its opening weekend, which made it the highest grossing worldwide spring weekend opening of all time. Until the release of Alice in Wonderland from 2010, a sequel, Fast 5, was released in April 2011, which we'll talk about on the next podcast, or when I get to it, though. But that information right there is from Wikipedia right there. So pretty much in the film, Toretto, he is still on the run from the events that happened from the first Fast and Furious. And he made a cameo at the end, an uncredited cameo, in Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. Now, this film, Fast and Furious, Fast 5, the Fast and Furious 6, all take place in between the second film, Too Fast, Too Furious, and the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. This right here is a new trilogy, because I went to the theaters and seen this when it first came out, and when I went to theaters and seen it, I already knew. I did some reading research on this, because when I heard that the character Han was coming back, I was like, he died. I had friends calling me, hey man, I thought you said Han died, or I thought Han died. Was he back in this one? I said this is a film that's happened before Tokyo Drift, because in the film there, after the big action opening action sequence of the film, which at that time I thought was pretty damn neat, because if they're going to go in this direction with the action for this film, okay, so be it. I was in awe by it, you know, didn't see nothing like this from a Fast and Furious movie. But however, when Han mentioned that they're doing some crazy stuff in Tokyo, so that right there is like, okay, this, he did this stuff, and Tokyo is going to be his Mexico, we thought. But however, pretty much Letty went and was trying to clear Dom's name, trying to get him free. So she gets back with Brian and goes in undercover to try to bust and bring down Braga. But however, she died. So Dom goes after Letty's killer. Meanwhile, Brian's on the track trying to take down Braga every which way. He goes back to LA, Brian O'Connor. He gets reinstated with the FBI. And it's probably because of what happened in Too Fast, Too Furious. So that pretty much set him up for this. But their paths cross, Dominic and Brian's paths cross again. There's still that bad blood from what Brian did to his family. There's even interactions with Mia. Mia's still pissed that Brian came in, lied. He's a son of a bitch. You ripped my family from me. My brother's wanted. He can't come home. And as the film progresses, you could see that Dom and Brian have that mutual respect for each other from what you've seen from the first film. But the thing is, with this one here, it's almost kind of like a little bit of what you kind of seen in the first one a little bit, but this time, you know, Brian's trying to go undercover, trying to bust the bad guy, capture the bad guys. That's what he signed up for. That's what he said he did. But the thing about this film also too is, again, the action sequences and the crazy stuff that happens. They did go back to the cars, which, you know, was great. You get to see some nice cars in this movie here. And that's the one thing I like about the Fast Furious franchise, is some great looking cars, some great stuff, great vehicles you get to see throughout the films. But pretty much what happens, transpires, is that no one knows who Braga is. And Braga's right-hand man, Campos, which later is revealed in the film that that's actually Braga, because Brian did some undercover work, got a fingerprint from Campos. Well, actually, Braga. And come to find out, Compost was not Compost. He was Braga in disguise. Just throw everybody off, though. But last part of the movie with the action and the chase scenes going through Mexico from the border, from Mexico back to the States, after Brian messed up and was trying to make a deal where if they catch Braga, Dom walks, which didn't happen. So they go back. They go to Mexico and they, you know, bring him back. Dom's pissed that Brian got Letty killed, and, you know, really emotional part there when that happens and finds out. And Brian's like, Letty just missed you, Dom. She just wanted you to come home. She tried. Brian tried. They care for Dominic Toretto. They just want him to come home and be cleared. Come home to his sister. Come home to his family. But in the last part of the movie, when they do catch Braga, they catch a bad guy. Dominic, however, goes to jail. And then you see at the end of the closing part of the movie where Mia, the other two guys, which I always forget, I should pull them up right here. Omar and Tego and Brian go and bust Dominic out of you know, handcuffs on his way going to back to prison. And the film ends right there. This film, I mean, I was excited to see it on the big screen back in 2009 when it came out, but it pretty much just one of those movies, man, that I enjoy. Pretty good story, which is the first of a new trilogy from 4, 5, and 6, but a lot of stuff like Vin Diesel originally wanted to make the 4th and 5th films back to back, but Universal decided to take some time to see how the 4th movie would work out before moving on to the 5th. Diesel was allowed to direct an 18-minute short film, which we discussed earlier there, Los Banderos, which is set in the Fast and Furious world before the 4th installment. It's kind of like the prelude, what you've seen with Too Fast, where it showed Brian what he did after the end of the events. It's on the DVDs, Blu-rays. If anyone ever watches those, you pull up on some streaming service. I don't know, but I got the DVDs and Blu-rays. I prefer that. But anyhow, the short introduces Leo and Santos and establishes Dom's friendship with Han, which was mentioned in the Fast Furious Tokyo Drift. Ron Jens suffers from vertigo. He's the character who played David Park. From that scene where his character David Park hanging out the window, the reaction on his face are natural. Director Justin Lin in the commentary said that he really wanted to get the scene done since they were losing the natural light. He jokingly threatened to hang Ron himself if he didn't do the shot right away. So that was all one take there, just natural. Due to Universal Pictures moving the release date up from June 12th to April 3rd, composer Brian Tyler only had 3 days to record the orchestra score. Wow, that's cutting it close there. Around 240 cars were built specially for this film. With a gross of $72.5 million, it had the biggest three-day opening for Universal Pictures, beating The Lost World Jurassic Park from 1997, which came in with $72.1 million. Interesting fact, the Nissan Skyline, the GTR R34 that O'Connor drives, was provided by Kaizo Industries, which was claimed to be legal for road and under kit car guidelines. A copy of the R34 was later believed to be stolen in July of 2009, but it was not the movie car. The original GTR 34 was seized by government agents in 2009 and exported in 2012 to GTA Germany. David Ayer from Fast and Furious and Training Day did uncredited rewrites, just like he did in the last films there. Paul Walker's character, Brian O'Connor, used to be blonde. You haven't noticed yet. Walker switched from natural blonde to brunette in real life after Timeline from 2003. The script for the film offers no explanation why Brian is a brunette now. Paul Walker was a brunette since 2004. Yeah. Dominic is seen ordering a Corona in the movie. He also drinks Corona in the Fast and Furious and offers Brian one by saying, "You can have any brew you want as long as it's a Corona." Similar to the famous Henry Ford quote. And in Furious 7, he preferred his Corona over Mr. Nobody's advice to try Belgian beer. Of course, he's a Corona drinker. This outgrossed the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift from 2006 in its first weekend alone. While the racers are driving through the tunnels, it seems every actor and actress is sweating, but in reality, all the actors and actresses used a bottle with water to spray on themselves to create the look. This is in the bloopers and behind the scenes on the DVD, which is great. The bloopers on this. Oh, man. This is the first Fast and Furious film to be released in theaters in April instead of June. The 17th most successful film of 2009. And of course, the film takes place before the events of the third film, The Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. Sung Kang plays Han in both films and died in Tokyo Drift. However, his character was so beloved that director Justin Lin brought him back for this film, thus setting the events after Too Fast, Too Furious, but sometime before Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. With Dominic telling Han to go his way, he says he's going to go to Tokyo, where he eventually ends up after Fast and Furious 6 from 2013 to become a major character in the third film. Despite having the cast reunited, Michelle Rodriguez does not share any scenes with Paul Walker or Jordana Brewster, since Letty dies after the events of the opening scene. So, but that's pretty much right there what happened with that right there. Yeah, my stomach's growling. So, while they were filming in 2008, I'll throw this out here, the movie cars were built in Southern California, San Francisco Valley. Around 240 cars were built, as previously mentioned. However, the replica vehicles did not match specifications that were supposed to be represented. For example, a replica version of the F-bomb, the 73 Chevy Camaro built by Tom Nielsen of RNE and David Finberger of Hot Rod Magazine, included a 300 horsepower crate V8 with a 3-speed automatic transmission, where the actual car included a twin turbo 1500 horsepower engine and a 5-speed transmission. So that right there. The original red 1970 Chevy Chevelle SS seen at the end of credits of the first Fast and Furious movie also makes an appearance, but is later highly modified for street racing. If you remember that, right before he was trying to get in with Braga Dominic, he takes his red 70 Chevelle and he goes mad. He paints it black, which I thought looked badass, but I like that. I like the 70 Chevelle. I like the body type and just how the engine sounds in that car, though. That's just me. But anyway, this film was released on Blu-ray and DVD on July 28th of 2009. The DVD is a 2-disc set and a lot of extras on it there. So it's one of those films. I mean, it starts the new trilogy, as I mentioned before. And what it does is it starts this new trilogy with this film here, after it, 5 and 6. And you could say they could have shot the 4th and 5th film back-to-back. But, however, again, Universal wanted to see how that was going to play out. But this new trilogy set up some good story and more interaction characters, and it just, a lot of people liked it and a lot of people didn't. And critics, Rotten Tomatoes holds the approval rating of 28% based on 177 reviews with an average rating of a 4.6 out of 10. Some people are like, nah, this is just ridiculous. That a lot of people like Tokyo Drift better than this one because it was more of a fresh take on the franchise. So that's why that is there. I mean, a lot of people came out to see this film for the fact that you got the original cast back together. You know, Paul Walker at the time was doing a bunch of other movies. His movie career is taking off. He didn't know if he was going to ever come back or do another Fast and Furious. Michelle Rodriguez, Jordana Brewster was not doing anything at the time, actually. I think the last film she did after the first Fast and Furious was in 2004 or 2005, the movie called Debs. That's a long time, you know, being out in there. But Entertainment Weekly gave the film a B plus and wrote, quote, Fast and Furious is still no Point Break, but is perfectly aware of its limitless dramatic mission and offers an attractive getaway route from self-importance, snark, and chatty comedies about male bonding. So, yeah, if you kind of look at it, I mean, there was some moments here and there, some one-liners here, but this one had a more dark tone to it. Revenge. Dominic wanting to go after the person who killed the woman he loved. Brian O'Connor wanting to bag the bad guy. Dom, Brian, patch up everything. You know, bury the hatchet, have amends to what happened after the first film. But other than that, that's pretty much it. Discussing Fast and Furious. I want to thank everyone for downloading the audio episode and tuning in to watch the video version of this podcast. Everett Lee signing off, and we'll see you again next time for another new episode of The Everett Lee Show. Peace!
Follow The Everett Lee Show on the following social media platforms. Facebook, The Everett Lee Show. Twitter, at The Everett _Lee. Instagram, Everett Lee. Subscribe, follow, The Everett Lee Show, on the following platforms. Anchor.fm/Everett Lee Show. YouTube, Everett Lee. And Johnners Podcast Network, WrestlingWithJohnners.com.